Hello, my name's Mike Talty. I work for Microsoft in the UK. And this is one of a number of short videos around a new framework that's coming as part of Silverlight 4 and also as part of .NET 4, the full .NET framework, that's called the Managed Extensibility Framework, or MEF for short. So it's coming in both Silverlight and .NET 4. I'm going to look at it here in the realms of Silverlight applications. And in a nutshell, what this framework is about is enabling you to sort of compose a Silverlight application out of a number of very loosely coupled pieces that can use different mechanisms for discovering each other at runtime in order to come together and form an application. If that sounds a little bit abstract, then perhaps to make it more concrete, think of plug-in architectures. Think of something like Visual Studio, which has the capability to plug in lots of different designers and build engines and those kinds of things. Or think of something like Outlook, where you can write add-ins yourself using .NET for Outlook and plug them into the core application. And MEF enables those kinds of scenarios if you want to think of it in a more concrete way. Now, just to provide a few pointers before we get started, if you want to follow along and you want to know how to get started with Silverlight 4 and MEF, then the first thing you need to do is download Visual Studio 2010. The Beta 2 is the build I'm using here. You can get that from msdnmicrosoft.com/vstudio. That's all you need. You don't need the other bits in order to find the download for Beta 2. That will get you Visual Studio 2010. You would then also want the pieces for Silverlight 4 development in Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. Best place to go to get those is to pop over to silverlight.net, pop over to Get Started over here, and then down on the right-hand side, you will find a link to go and get everything for the Silverlight 4 Beta. And MEF is part of that Silverlight 4 Beta. So follow the instructions there. You'll get the tools in the SDK in order to install the Silverlight 4 development environment bits into Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. It's worth saying as well that MEF, there's also a version of it on CodePlex for .NET 3.5 and Silverlight 3. So if you pop over to mef.codeplex.com, you can find the previews of MEF on there to play with against .NET 3.5. That's the existing .NET framework, and Silverlight 3. That's the existing released version of Silverlight. Finally, if you're trying to find more of these videos, if you pop over to Channel 9, this is where I'll put the videos. If you go to channel9.msdn.com/niners/mtalty, that's me, and you'll find these videos here as and when they're published. And if you're trying to find me in any way, you can pop over to my website, which is just at mtalty.com, and then you'll find my blog. And finally, if you want to get hold of me via email, you can just mail me at mike.talty@microsoft.com. Okay, so with all that introductory stuff said, let's get started and take a bit of a look at Managed Extensibility Framework. Hello and welcome to video number 4. This one follows on from all the previous ones, so I recommend watching the previous videos before you get to this one. With that said, what we talked about in video, I think, 2 was around imports and exports and the sorts of things we can import and export and how flexible we can be. In video 3, we talked about catalogs. We talked about type catalogs, assembly catalogs, and aggregate catalogs. And we talked about what they kind of did for us. And we introduced the idea of the composition container and its role and how we'd been using the default one up until then. And we took a little bit more control around that thing. In the next video on, video 5, we'll talk about another kind of catalog, but here I just wanted to stop off and talk about the idea of recomposition. So what we've done so far is generally we've thrown a bunch of components together into a composition container, and generally we've done it implicitly, but in the last video we did it a little bit more explicitly. So we kind of thrown a bunch of components or composable parts together, and then we've had a container compose them. And it's in our particular example been connecting up text engines with word processors and things like that. What we haven't looked at is the idea that things may change over time. So having composed these parts together, should something change inside of the container, then there is a need to recompose them. And MEF has this as functionality, the idea that if something causes a change, it might drive a recomposition of the existing parts. So what if somebody takes the text engine out of the container? What should happen at that point? And so let's take a look at that here. Let's switch back over to Visual Studio and talk about this idea of recomposition. So back in Visual Studio, a quick tour of the project. We've changed it slightly since the last time we saw it, but not very much. We still have our main UI with the code behind it. The code behind on our main UI is importing a word processor by interface, iWord processor. It's allowing a default on that import, so if there is no word processor, that's okay. When we hit the constructor, we're calling part initialize to satisfy imports, so we are using the default implicit composition container. We aren't taking control of that right now. And then over on our concrete types, we have the word processor, which is an iWord processor. It is exporting itself that way. It imports a text engine, which is an iText engine, and it allows defaults there as well. So if MEF can't compose a text engine, that's okay. We don't make a fuss about that. And then over, of course, in our text engine, we just have the text engine that exports itself as an iText engine. The interfaces that we had have not changed. iText engine still looks like it did. And iWord processor is still very, very simple. Those are contained in one library. The implementations are contained in two other libraries. Every project references the interfaces library, and our MEF sample references both the interfaces library and the text engine and word processor libraries, such that those assemblies will be built into our ZAP, such that the implicit or default composition container created by this call to satisfy imports will pick up those types in our ZAP, and consequently we will get a word processor composed and we will get a text engine composed. And so just to make sure that our code's running before we start playing with it, if we go back to our UI, which just has the button, we can see that MEF has composed for us a word processor and a text engine, and that's kind of how it's been all the way along, except perhaps we've changed these to allow default, and again on the word processor to allow default on the text engine. So much like we did in the previous video, I want to take a little bit more control, and again I'm going to put the code into this main page so it's all on one screen. Let's initialize our container ourselves. So we're going to use the knowledge that we gained around catalogs, and let's just go write that function. So we'll say void initialize container, and in here I'm going to use an aggregate catalog, so let's keep that as a member variable. So we'll have aggregate catalog catalog, and all we'll do here is create one. And then we'll make our composition container. Oops, I missed an O out of composition. There we go. We'll call that container and we'll create a new one of those. And then we'll say composition host initialize container with our container. And you might have noticed I've not put the catalog into the container, so let's do just that. So we're creating an empty catalog and building our container around it. And so consequently, we expect that when we run at this point, we've now made it so that MEF cannot do its composition. We click the button, hit the breakpoint, and we should be able to see that we no longer have a word processor. And that makes sense because we fed the thing a container wrapped around an empty catalog, so it's not entirely unexpected that. Now, it's worth saying that there are many ways that we can interact with this container, but what we'll do here is we'll dynamically manipulate the catalogs that are being aggregated by this aggregate catalog. So let's go back to our UI, which just has a button on it right now, and the button's been useful because we can get a breakpoint hit every time we click that button. So let's just rename that button a little bit. Let's call it change the content to say check with breakpoint or something like that. So that's quite a useful button that we've had. I want to add one or two more buttons in here, so let's just copy this one. And let's put some more rows in our grid. So let's just say grid.row, and we'll add a row, and we'll add perhaps another row. Okay. And let's go and put another button. We'll move this one into grid row equals 2, and we'll add another button which can go into the first grid row. And on this one, what we'll do is perhaps we'll say add text engine, something like that. And we'll just change this callback here to be on add text engine. And maybe we'll add another button. Let's just copy this one. And this one can be called add word process or something like that. And we'll change that callback to be on add word processor. Let's jump to the code behind and write a couple of handlers. So this is on button click, so that's just the one for our breakpoint. Let's add on, did we call it add text engine? And then another one I think we called on add word processor, something like that. And what I want to do is when we hit this button to add text engine, I'm going to create a type catalog. So what we'll do is we'll just say add a new catalog, which will be a type catalog, and we'll add into that type of text engine. So at that point, we're changing the catalogs of this aggregate catalog on which our container is based, and that became the implicit container. And similarly, when we get to on add word processor, we'll say catalog.catalogs.add new type catalog, and we'll say type of word processor. So we're just going adding those new type catalogs at the point where you click on that button. So let's go and rerun. And so when we click, oh, we've obviously got something wrong with the UI. Let's fix the UI. What did we do to it? We only have two rows. Maybe we should have added three. Three rows. And this guy should be in grid row one. That's better. Okay, press F5. Sorry about that. So back where we were, and we can go and check initially, and we know that initially we have no word processor. If I can just hover over that. Because we haven't added anything into the catalog, so we press F5. But composition has kind of been done at that point, and that's it. So let's go and add a text engine and see what happens if we add a text engine. And nothing seems to happen when we add that type catalog for the text engine. Nothing seems to happen. And then let's go and add a word processor and let's see what seems to happen when we do that. Okay, interesting. So we get a change rejected exception from MEF at the point where we were trying to add the new catalog. And what MEF is telling us here is that we are trying to force a recomposition, and we haven't said that that's okay. So where we said that's not okay was here. When we imported the word processor, we didn't set the flag to say it would be okay, and that flag is allow recomposition. So now we're allowing a recomposition of the word processor onto the main page. And so if we leave that flag switched on and rerun, let's go ahead and initially we can check, of course, that we don't have a word processor, which we let's just hover, which we don't. And if we add a text engine, we still won't have a word processor, but we could go and check, I guess. Let's have a look at the breakpoint. Visual Studio is playing up at me with, there we go, we don't have a word processor. We run on. And now let's add the word processor and check with the breakpoint. And you notice we have a word processor and it has a text engine. Kind of interesting. So MEF has automatically, if you like, in response to changes to the container, spotted those changes and recomposed our word processor. Now let's try this in a different direction. I've just shut down the debugger and we're running this back up again. So initially we know we don't have a word processor. Let's add a word processor and take a look what we've got. So at this point we should have a word processor without a text engine, and we do. Let's go and add the text engine. Boom. Again, we see a change rejected exception from MEF at the point where we were trying to add the text engine catalog to the set of catalogs. And the reason for that, of course, is that when we look at the word processor, it imports a text engine, but it does not say that it allows for recomposition. If we switch on recomposition at that point as well, then when we go on rerun, then we can see that if we go ahead first and add a word processor and then add a text engine and then check with the breakpoint, we should be able to see that we now have a decent word processor with a decent text engine plugged into it. Let's just shut that down. Now, we can't only add things, we can also remove things. So let's take our text engine catalog for a second and put it into a member variable. So let's say type catalog text engine catalog, and here what we'll do is we'll say text engine catalog equals new one of those, Just copy that bit of code there. And then we'll add that into the catalogs here. So we're just adding that text engine catalog there. Let's go back to the UI, add a new button onto it. So just copy a button here. We're going to have to move our grid rows around a little bit. Let's put this one into grid row equals 1. Just update these indexes down here. We'll create a new grid row in a second. And we'll call this one remove text engine. We'll just say on remove text engine. So there we are, removing a text engine. Let's just change the grid rows so we've got another one. Okay. And let's go and implement that callback on remove text engine. Let's jump to the code behind. And we'll kind of copy on add and rename it to on remove. And we'll simply say if text engine catalog is not null, then we'll say catalog.catalogs.remove the text engine catalog. And then we'll say text engine catalog equals null. So take it away if it's not there. So if it's there rather. So let's press F5. And let's go and create, what should we do? Let's add a text engine, add a word processor, check on the breakpoint that we've got a word processor with a text engine. There it is with its text engine. Continue onwards. Let's remove the text engine from the catalog. Remember, we're not removing it from the word processor ourselves, we're just removing it from the catalog. Check with the breakpoint. And our word processor no longer has a text engine. So notice that that's quite interesting, because if you had held around a reference to that text engine, then at this point you would be pointing at the wrong text engine, because the word processor no longer has one. So that's quite interesting. And we could take that a step further in some ways. Let's stop debugging for a second. And let's add a new kind of text engine. So let's just go over to our implementation file over here. We'll copy this. Just paste it. And let's make a fancy text engine. And we'll just call that fancy. So now we've got a text engine and a fancy text engine. And let's go back to our UI. Let's add one more button, perhaps. Add another row. And just at the bottom of this, perhaps, let's steal this button here. Let's put it just here, actually. So let's say add fancy text engine. We'll put that call in here. We'll just move this into grid row 4 for a second. So let's just write this code on add fancy text engine. And we'll make this very simple. So we'll just add an event handler. And we'll walk up to the catalog and add to the catalogs a new type catalog around the type of the fancy text engine. So let's press F5 again. I have to be a little bit careful with this, but let's go add a word processor, or let's add a text engine first. Then add a word processor. Then let's see what we've got. So what we're expecting is that we have a word processor with a text engine, which is the default text engine. Let's press F5. Let's remove that text engine catalog. Let's check what we've got. Got a word processor. If you can just get it. And it has no text engine. Let's press F5. Let's add the fancy text engine type catalog and check with the breakpoint. So we have a word processor, has a text engine, which is a fancy text engine. So notice how that is changing dynamically on the fly. And if you were, for instance, to have reached into this word processor and taken that reference to its text engine and kept it around, then that would be a risky thing to do in the face of these dynamic recompositions. Notice also what we're doing here is just working with a single instance. This recomposition process also occurs if you've got lists of things that you have composed. So it's just the same there. It works the same sort of way that you can have those recomposed as well. The other thing I'd say about this is you can also be notified of these recompositions. Let's just stop debugging. So let's go to our word processor, which imports a text engine, and implement an interface on it. It's called iPart Import Satisfied Notification. So it's quite a long name on that one. But let's just go and implement that. It's a single method on import satisfied. So let's just put a breakpoint there so we can see when that's occurring. And let's go back to main page XAML.C# and implement the same interface here, iPart Import Satisfied Notification. And let's put an implementation on that here as well. And let's put a breakpoint in here as well. I'm just going to move my member variables to after that code. Just move them down there. And let's just rerun. And so in the first instance, you can see we're getting import satisfied on the main page. Let's go and add a word processor and see what happens. Okay, so you can see that on the word processor library itself, it's getting a notification, imports have been satisfied. Now notice the text engine's null, but because we said allow default is true, that's considered a satisfied import because we said it was okay. Then notice that the main page is getting its call also to on import satisfied. Let's add a text engine. Notice again that the word processor is being told your imports have been satisfied, and now it has a text engine. Let's press F5. And notice that the main page wasn't notified because nothing changed on the main page. It kept the word processors that it had before. If we remove the text engine, then once again the word processor is notified that it no longer has a text engine in this case. And if we were to add the fancy text engine, then once again the word processor is notified that it has a new text engine, in this case a fancy text engine, if we can just hover over that. So you can implement this notification interface to be told as this recomposition, actually more generally, as composition goes on, because it doesn't have to be a recomposition, it could be the first composition as we saw when we went through. But generally, to be notified of all compositions, you can implement this interface. So here we implement it on the word processor and on our main page class, because they both do imports, so they both might want to know when composition has gone on. Now, coming back to a point we made earlier, we can also do this recomposition where we've got import many. So what we've had so far is our main page has a word processor, and our word processor has a text engine, and that's kind of it. But what if we want to have a situation where we have, say, a word processor has a choice of text engines? So what I'll do is I'll snip the video and I'll just rework the UI and a couple of classes to support that kind of idea, and then we can progress with that. Okay, so I've made a few changes. Let's take a look at what we've done. Let's go back to the solution. I've changed the idea of an iWord processor. So let's say for argument's sake that an iWord processor now has an observable collection of text engine called text engines rather than just one. So now the word processor has a selection of engines, you know, the default one and the fancy one, whatever it might be. Okay, so we changed that. We've also gone and changed our UI a little bit. Let's take a look at our UI. It's not changed dramatically, but the major change is that we've gone and added a little list box at the top, which is bound to wordprocessor.textengines. So we're trying to list what are the engines currently plugged into the word processor. We've then still got our buttons for adding the word processor catalog, adding the text engine catalog, removing the text engine catalog, and adding the fancy text engine catalog. They're all kind of living down here at the bottom, probably a bit small to see. But they're basically the buttons that we had before. Made some changes to the code behind, not a lot. Let's just drop into that. In the code behind here, which is just our mainpage.xaml.c#, I've gone and implemented iNotify property changed. This is really to make Silverlight's data binding work properly, so that when my word processor property changes, we fire a property change notification. So that's just standard Silverlight stuff. You'll notice that the main page still imports one word processor. I don't know if there's much else exciting going on here. Oh, okay, so one other thing we did was I've added something to make sure that the data context is set up for the UI to point to this class, such that the UI we'll pick up this word processor property so it can bind to it and its text engines property. I don't think there's much else that's changed here. We still create our catalog the same way. We added something to fire property changed. We still add in the type catalog for the word processor, the type catalog for the text engine. We can remove that again, and we can add the type catalog for the fancy text engine. If we go over to our word processor class, obviously it's changed because the interface it implements has changed. And so on our word processor class, I've also gone and added iNotify property changed. We changed the name of the property from text engine to text engines, and we turned it into an observable collection, and we made it import many. Okay, and that's about it really. Okay, so with that in play, let's just close those windows down. Okay, so let's run this up. And initially where we are is that we have added nothing into our aggregate catalog. So there's simply no type catalogs in there whatsoever. And remember that our list box here is bound to wordprocessor.textengines. So not only do we need the word processor to be composed, we also need at least one text engine to be composed for this to show up. So what order should we do this? We can do it in any order we like. Let's go ahead and say that we'll add the default text engine in there. And let's go ahead and say we'll add the fancy text engine in there. So now our aggregate catalog contains two type catalogs, one for the text engine, one for the fancy text engine, but it doesn't have any type in there for a word processor at this point. So let's add the word processor type catalog into that. And as we add that in, we should get a recomposition that should compose the word processor. On that word processor, we are expecting to compose two text engine types. And so if we add this into the catalog, we should see that the word processor has been composed, and it has two engines at the moment, the default engine and the fancy engine. So MEF is just doing that work, and we're just picking up really naturally because we're using observable collection. Let's say that we were to go ahead and remove the text engine catalog from the aggregate catalog. That would leave us only with the fancy text engine in there. So we removed this, and you can see that the word processor now just has a fancy text engine. We add it back, it has both. We remove it, it has one. So you can very visually see what's going on, and also that this does apply to where you are importing many. It's not just about importing one thing, it's about importing many as well. So let's take a look at one more aspect of this. Let's imagine that we have this fancy text engine. So he's over here. And let's make this fancy text engine a little bit more fancy. So let's just go throw in another interface. So up here maybe add a class. We'll call this let's say spell check. So maybe a fancy text engine knows how to do spell checking. So let's throw that in. And we'll go and just make that into an interface. And we'll add a simple method on it. Let's say bool check text. Something like that. So we have this notion of being able to spell check. Let's go to our fancy text engine, and let's get this thing to import one of those. So imagine that we need to say iSpellCheck SpellChecker, and we'll go to MEF and import one of those. And notice that we're not saying this is optional. So this has to be provided because, for instance, in process text here, we're going to say if SpellChecker dot check text with the text, then do something. So to be a fancy text engine, you have to be able to do spell checking. In order to import that, let's go and create an implementation of iSpellCheck somewhere. I don't really mind where it goes for this example. So let's just go into the MEF sample here and add a class just to throw it in there, make it easy. So we'll call SpellChecker, something like that. And we'll implement iSpellCheck on that. And we won't actually do anything, so let's just return true. And make sure that this thing is exported, so let's export. And we give that the type of iSpellCheck. Okay, so we have exported a spell checker, and then we've got our idea over here of the fancy text engine, which now really depends upon a spell checker. Let's go over to our code that sets stuff up, and we won't change the UI or anything. Let's just go back over to where we set the container up somewhere over here. So here's the code where we set up the container. And in the first instance, let's not put a spell checker into the aggregate catalogue. So let's press F5 and have a look at what we've got. And let's add a word processor. Let's add a text engine catalogue. Let's add the fancy text engine catalogue. And you'll notice as what happened into that import many that we do is we do not end up with a fancy text engine. And the reason for that, of course, is that it depends on a spell checker, and the spell checker is not there. Consequently, you can't have a fancy text engine. So notice what MEF is doing there. It's looking at the dependencies of the fancy text engine export and saying, well, if you don't have a spell checker available, then you can't have a fancy text engine. And we don't have to mark that on the fancy text engine itself. We simply don't provide one of its required imports, and that's it. It doesn't show up. So let's go and provide that required import. Let's go back maybe to our catalog here, and let's add into that at an early stage. We'll just say catalog.catalogs.add, and we'll add a new type catalog for the spell checker. So now we have the underpinnings for our fancy text engine. So consequently, when we run this back up, we should see that if we add a word processor, add a text engine, there's the default one coming in. Then we add the fancy text engine, which depends on the spell checker, which we now have in place. We should see that we now have a fancy text engine. So notice how neat that is in the sense of MEF determining the dependencies, and for our import many here, figuring out that it's not possible to bring in the fancy text engine without the spell checker. When we didn't have it, it didn't show up. When we did have all of its required imports, it did show up. So this is another thing that you can do. We talked about how you could allow default, and that's for the case where your fancy text engine perhaps can manage with or without a spell checker. But in the case where you absolutely need a required dependency, then from the point of view of importing many, MEF does the right thing in terms of it doesn't bring this type into play if one or more of its required dependencies aren't available as well. So you kind of see how that hangs together. So this is a bit more of a sort of advanced thing. The other thing to say is that it's also possible to set up catalogs and containers such that we can provide default values. And we'll take a look at that in a follow-on video. Okay, so we've had this idea of recomposition. The idea that the set of composable parts that make up the application when it first spins up may not be the same set of parts that continue all the way through its life cycle. Things can change, especially with a Silverlight application, because often with Silverlight applications, your concern is to get the smallest piece of code downloaded in the browser so that you can get UI in front of the user as quickly as possible, because it's a web application. You don't want them to move to another page or another site or press F5 or whatever it might be. You don't want an 800 megabyte zap file. You want to get something downloaded quickly for the user to see it. And so the idea that extra parts may come into the application over its lifetime, and in a Silverlight application maybe you're downloading them over the web, is something that's pretty likely to happen. And in fact, that's what we'll do in our next video. We'll look at another catalog that does exactly that for us in a Silverlight application.